Good morning. Welcome to worship here in Glenshaw Valley on this Father's Day. First of all, I would like to wish all of our fathers a happy Father's Day, and thank you for being here with us on this day. If you are the chair of a committee or you would like an announcement in the July Valley, Lynn, our secretary, is trying to gather all of those announcements. I believe the deadline is the end of this week or early next week, so try to get that together. Another announcement I have is that the deacons have decided to move forward with our church picnic. It is going to be August 23rd, which I think is the third Sunday in August. We are going to plan to have it outside, and I believe the plan is to have Mark cater it. So we are working through the details on that. There will be more information in the Valley, but please plan to mark your calendar for that. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right, please join with me in our call to worship. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Friends, our opening hymn is This Is the Day. The lyrics will be on the The lyrics will be on the screen. Join with me now in our prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts, we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ, your Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Amen. confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, from our seats, let us greet one another.
Good morning.
I feel like Miss America. Good morning. Let us pray. O God, you have assured the human family of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We ask that you would deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, we pray for Roy as he recovers from his knee replacement surgery, for Cliff as he recovers from having a kidney stone removed, for Roberta, for Bill Lowe's mother, and for Brandon. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Becca as she deals with her car troubles. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. On this Father's Day, we give thanks for the men who raised us. We are grateful for grandfathers who delight in the laughter of their grandchildren. We are grateful for men of many ages, brothers, uncles, and friends who have taught us about faith. We honor you. We give you thanks. As children of our Heavenly Father, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you for the birth of a healthy baby boy to Shannon and Anthony. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, just a reminder that the offertory plates are in the back of the sanctuary. So if you've not done so already, just drop your offering out on your way out of the sanctuary. For our offertory time together, while Mickey plays, I have a question for you to reflect on based on our scripture reading. And the question is for you to reflect on, what does it mean for you to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Go ahead, Mickey. Let us give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Matthew 10, verses 24 through 39. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master, if they have the call, master of Beelzebul. How much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not have become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who cannot destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are more valued than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, also I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have to come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves the father or the mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake find it. Bless the reading of the word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On Monday morning, a group of us pastors in Pittsburgh Presbytery get together for a Zoom meeting to kind of check in with one another. Well, we always start the Zoom meeting by reading that week's scripture reading, and I could feel all of us groaning as we read this scripture reading, because we were like, great, on Father's Day, we have to talk about sons not getting along with their fathers, and if anyone loves their family more than me, they're not worthy to be called my disciple. Great. But friends, the more time that I spent with this passage this week, the more that I came to realize that this passage is really about discipleship, not so much about how we should order our households. What Jesus is saying is that faithful proclamation of the gospel is going to put disciples in conflict with the world and even with their own families. When Jesus says, "For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law," Jesus is illustrating one area of our lives where we may feel the cost of discipleship. Here, Jesus isn't telling us to simply reject our families, but maybe to think about where they fall in our list of priorities. If we want to follow Jesus, then following Jesus has to be the priority. And when we maybe take time away from our families, or perhaps create conflict within our families, sometimes that is what we are called to do. As if family drama wasn't bad enough, Jesus tells us that's not even the worst of it. Jesus says, Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Take up their cross and follow me. What Jesus is saying here is that he expects his disciples to participate in his suffering. And Jesus tells his disciples to expect this so that when they experience it, they won't be afraid of it. The older I've gotten, the more that I've come to appreciate how realistic Jesus is about the threats his disciples will face. I think somewhere along the line of Christian history, we've misunderstood suffering. Perhaps we see it as a sign that we've done something wrong or that our faith isn't strong enough. But here Jesus is saying that suffering for the sake of the gospel is actually a sign that we're doing something right. And if we name this cost of discipleship, maybe we won't allow it to hinder our witness. So what does it look like to name the cost of discipleship? To name the cost of taking up our cross and following Jesus? As I was putting this sermon together this week, I was also trying to take some time to finally organize some of the pictures and video that I took when I was in Central America this winter. I found this picture when I was organizing the pictures. This is a picture of Monsignor Oscar Romero. I took this picture in El Salvador when we were visiting his home and chapel. While on the tour, I learned that Romero was a Salvadoran priest during the Salvadoran Civil War, which took place from 1979 to 1992, so during the Cold War. Romero served a parish in San Salvador, which at the time was a very poor city that was rife with gang violence and civil war and corruption. During the Civil War, there was a conflict between the military and those who opposed the military. So what the military did was they started targeting civilians as a way to instill terror in the city. Father Romero thought that this was unjust, even during wartime. In his final sermon given the day before he died, Father Romero called for soldiers to disobey these orders. He preached, "In the name of God, in the name of this suffering people whose cries rise to the heavens more loudly each day, I implore you, I beg you, I order you in the name of God to stop this repression." The next day, Romero was shot by an assassin as he celebrated Mass in a hospital. Those responsible to this day were not brought to justice. I share this story not to scare you, but to show you one example of discipleship leading to the cross. If you look across the span of human history, you will see many examples of men who chose to stand up for what was right instead of what was easy, and who met the same fate that Jesus did. We should not be surprised by this, because Jesus says, for us to follow him, one outcome is we could meet the same fate he did. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to prepare ourselves that we are called to participate in all parts of his life, from his exaltation to the cross. Now, not all of us are going to be called to martyrdom, but all of us are called to participate fully in the life of discipleship, at whatever cost that means for each one of us. My reflection question for all of us this week is to reflect on what it means for us to take up our cross in our lives and follow Jesus. So I didn't think it was fair to just ask this question and not do the work myself. So as I was reflecting on this question, here are a few examples that I thought of. Taking up my cross means speaking out against injustice. Sure, I can do this from the pulpit, but I can also do this at family gatherings when my great uncle makes a racist joke. Instead of staying quiet, which is what I usually do because I really want to keep peace and not create drama at family gatherings, instead of doing this, I can do something simple. I can say, "No, that's not funny. That makes me uncomfortable. Please stop." Right now, taking up my cross means wearing a mask in public. Even though it's hot, even though it's hard to breathe, even though my foundation gets all over the inside of the mask and I feel like I'm inhaling it every time I take a breath. But a mask is one way that I can love my neighbors right now. Finally, taking up my cross means continuing to work with my coach to modify my diet. It means eating more vegetables and eating less ice cream. But most importantly, it means figuring out how to do this without making everyone around me miserable. When we were at home, I learned just how important nutrition is to my overall health. And as we figure out how to live with the threat of a virus, I need to do my part to stay healthy because I want to be helpful in whatever our new normal looks like. Now, as I make these changes in my life, I can already feel the pushback. My great uncle is going to tell me to quit being such a sensitive liberal millennial. He was only joking. My mother is going to tell me she wears a mask at work all day. She isn't going to wear one for a quick trip to the grocery store, to the gas station. My sister is going to tell me that it won't kill me if I go with her for ice cream this weekend. And I have to be okay with this. I have to be okay with the criticism and the conflict and the name calling from my own family that is going to come my way when I make unpopular decisions. This is the cost of discipleship. Now, I imagine a few of you are sitting there going, "Why on earth would I do this? Why would I follow Jesus if it only brings suffering and pain?" Well, the first thing to say is it doesn't only bring suffering and pain, but I think we do this because suffering and pain is a part of the human story. In fact, we worship a God who became man and dwelled among us so that he could understand this part of our stories. Also, as Christians, we believe that Jesus will come again. And when he does return, we hope and we pray that we will be able to recognize him. We do the work of discipleship because it trains us to recognize Jesus when he comes and when he shows us his hands and his sides. We will be familiar with his wounds because they are going to match our own. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, our closing hymn this morning is going to be Step by Step. The lyrics will be on the screen. prepare to go from this place, let me offer a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.